The Celtics welcomed back two starters on Thursday night, and while Eric Spoelstra spoke optimistically about the matchup before the game, the result was far, far worse as Boston controlled the game and pulled away to a huge lead, blowing out Miami and dealing them their first home loss of the playoffs. We'll break down the loss, what the Heat can take away from the game, if anything, and if they can possibly bounce back when the series shifts to Boston in just 2 days on today's playoff edition of Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. It's a Friday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily podcast covering all things Miami Heat, however you may be listening or watching on YouTube, on Odyssey, or on your favorite podcast app. Thanks so much for making us your first listen every day. I'm David Ramillo. With me, as always, is my co-host Wes Goldberg from FTX Arena. Today's episode brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Well, Miami was facing a healthy Celtics team on Thursday for Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals as Marcus Smart returned from a foot injury in Al Horford after having just entered the league's health and safety protocols on Tuesday, was cleared to participate in the game. Miami started off poised and in control despite that, building a 10-point lead early in the first quarter, but the Celtics responded as they have all postseason, upping their defensive intensity, hitting big shot after big shot, and building a 25-point lead by halftime. The Heat would need another miracle third quarter similar to Game 1. And while they were able to cut the lead down to 17, Smart's offense took over to help crush Miami's spirits, and the Heat just couldn't respond, with Boston's lead climbing to 34 at one point. The final score was 127-102. The Heat lose their first game at home, and the series now tied at one apiece, moves on to Boston for Game 3. Jimmy Butler was the lone bright spot for Miami, scoring a game-high 29 points, but it really felt insignificant comparison to Jason Tatum having 27, Jaylen Brown and Smart both combining for 24 apiece. And as Boston shot a blistering 20 of 40% from three-point range, while the Heat were held yet again to a sub-30% shooting night from long range. I don't even know where to begin, because this was such a complete dismantling of this Heat team. I know we'll get into bigger questions about what Miami can do to respond, but I know that, you mentioned before, your takeaway from tonight's game was that somebody has to help Jimmy Butler, because he can't do it alone.
Well, you mentioned some of the box score stuff there. I mean, Jason Tatum, 27 points on 13 shots. But getting help from 24 points from Jaylen Brown and 24 points from Marcus Smart. And you look at Jimmy Butler, his 29 points more than doubled any of his teammates. And this was the fear that we had about this team. The concern we had about the Heat going into the series is we knew Jimmy Butler could go toe-to-toe with Jason Tatum. He did go toe-to-toe with Jason Tatum tonight. Yep. But can he get some help offensively? And it just was not there. It wasn't there at all. You had Bam Adebayo, 6 points for him. We'll get into him a little bit later on. 14 from Victor Oladipo, some of that stuff in garbage time. 14 from Gabe Vincent, same for him. 11 from Tyler Hero on 11 shots. This was an instance where the Heat's offense stalled in a way that concerned many going into this series. Obviously, you had Boston shooting the lights out. I think a lot of Heat fans will point to, well, Boston won't shoot 50% again in a game from three-point range. And they're probably right. But that doesn't mean that the Celtics can't win every game going forward if the Heat just don't get help from somebody outside of Jimmy Butler. Credit Boston's defense for taking a lot of things away. But Miami needs to figure something out now. And this is just the way it goes, right? The Heat, decisive win in Game 1. Puts the Celtics on the ropes. It's Boston's chance to respond and counter. Now it's Miami's opportunity to respond and counter. I really liked what the Celtics did from a pick-and-roll standpoint. They were guarding Miami's. They were showing guys like Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero multiple bodies and taking away those lanes that were just easily available in Game 1. And so that was a nice adjustment by Boston. Like, credit to them, right? Obviously, getting Horford and Smart back really helped that. But now the Heat need to figure out a counter to that. Okay, you're taking away these driving lanes. You're putting multiple bodies on our best ball handlers. What can we do? And again, you need to get some help. But 29%, man, from three-point range. Speaking of like concerns about this team going into the series, it was not getting Jimmy Butler help from anybody. but also the fact that what was the best three-point shooting team by percentage in the regular season has basically been shooting sub 30% the entire playoffs. And I don't know when that flips around, right? It wasn't even a great shooting game from three-point range in game one. It was just, right. That he just dominated every other facet of the game. Like, if the Heat can't get this three-point shooting thing figured out, then they've got really big concerns going forward.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Gabe Vincent had a solid night, 4 of 8 from three-point range, but a lot of that, again, felt like it was just too little too late, trying to hold back the tide with just a few shots here and there. But Victor Oladipo, one of five, 0 for 3 for Tyler Hero, 1 of 3 for Jimmy Butler, so he did wind up taking 3 three-point shots.
2 of 7 for Max, and I think Max made 2 of his first 3, I believe, and then just couldn't make one after that. They tried some token Duncan Robinson minutes in the third quarter there, but by then it was too little too late. He missed his first 3. He went 0 for 4 from 3-point range. And 2 of those came on one possession off of offensive rebound. We're even at the point now where Duncan Robinson looks so rusty when he comes into the game. Not playing him for so much this postseason almost neutralizes him. He is so rusty. I don't know how he shoots himself out of that and into a rhythm. I'm really concerned about Miami's three-point shooting and even potentially getting Kyle Lowry back. It's not like he was lighting it up in the regular season from beyond the arc, right? So, I mean, but Lowry can help in a lot of ways, but I don't know that he necessarily helps from the three-point shooting perspective, not at least directly and right away. So, I don't know. It really will just be all of a sudden these guys start making shots, and I don't know if that's going to happen.
No, it doesn't seem apparent. Again, to your point, you have to give the Celtics some credit. They did a really good job of identifying those three-point shots. No update on Kyle Lowry. After the game, Eric Spoelstra was asked about Kyle's potential return, and he mentioned that progress has been made. It was actually issued by Heat PR, but they weren't clear exactly about whether or not he'd be able to bounce back for Game 3. I would guess that he probably plays, that he'll try to find a way through it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go out on a limb and speculate too much, but that's, again, this is my guess, is that he I think it's pivotal, before the broadcast – before the game, the broadcast team was talking about the winner of Game 2 likely going on to win the series. We can debate that at some point later on, but things certainly more dire.
I'm confused. Wait, the ESPN people said whoever wins this game is going to go on to win the series?
Yes.
Why? What was the reason behind that?
Just the momentum shift in Boston's favor or in Miami's favor. Again, if Miami had been able to close it out and go up 2-0, that's hard to come back from. With Boston shifts and going back to the Celtics.
This is sort of what I predicted for the series coming in, right? I actually thought that the Heat were going to split these first two games at home. I just think Boston's too good. They haven't lost back-to-back games in these playoffs. They just don't lose back-to-back games. I know Miami came in here with a 10-game home winning streak, but, they haven't played a team as good as the Celtics. And this is a series that could go 6 or 7 games, right? So that means the Heat are going to lose a game. So I don't at least one game, right? And so I don't know if that's a made for TV take. I'm not really sure I'm buying that. I don't know that there's that much to glean as far as momentum shifts from this game. We saw momentum completely in Miami's favor after game one, and Boston just responded, right? And that was a lot of it was Marcus Smart, right? He came in energized, all of that kinetic energy that he brings, just screaming and at refs and teammates and Heat players and all this kind of stuff, and that really helped them. Maybe Kyle Lowry could bring some of that, right? We know that he's able to generate stuff from his teammates, but that's where we are now. The Heat, we could talk about X's and O's and all that kind of stuff, but the sharpness, the focus was not there. The energy was not there. I thought that they weren't as aggressive on pick and roll stuff. I thought that they I actually thought that just the fact that they went dry between the first and the second quarter for 5 minutes or something like that. Really just sort of took that was more than anything taking the wind out of their sails, and they never really responded from that offensively. They stopped getting into their sets early. They didn't play with as much determination to get into their offense. And I think Lowry will help that. I don't know if he's going to play in game three. I'm not even going to bother guessing at this point. Who knows? I think Gabe's fine. Like, Gabe was not the problem tonight, right? But obviously, you need as many bodies as possible. You need as many of your best guys as possible in this series.
To the point about Kyle, though, like, Jimmy spoke after the game, and he had a pretty interesting quote. He says, I got to do a better job of getting everyone involved. And basically, he went on to say, I got to do Kyle's job, and that I got a bit selfish on the offensive end, mostly,
right,
as he was looking to get his shot going. He said he could be better at screening off of, you know, off ball a little bit, getting some better looks for some of the other players. And I think Kyle certainly, and we'll talk about this probably in some detail in the next segment, because I think that Kyle would be a much better addition in terms of unlocking what Bam Adebayo can do. We saw multiple possessions there where Adebayo was able to get into the paint area, but ball handlers, whether they were Jimmy, Gabe Vincent, or anybody else, Tyler Hero, weren't able to get Bam the ball to get them those good looks where they could be momentum shifting baskets, you know, an easy dive to the rim where he can get a Celtics player in foul trouble or finish off with a dunk or a layup, etc. Those kinds of looks, just they weren't able to generate them for Bam. Partly on Bam, I think there's certainly he can take some of the blame for that, and again we'll talk about that later on, but I think the ball handling and the shot creation for everybody else, those things that Kyle still excels at, even when he's not shooting 100% or when he's not, you know, putting up a vast majority of points or anything like that, he's still able to unlock an aspect of Miami's offense that was absolutely missing in game two. So I think that's a big part of it. Jimmy has talked before about the burden of trying to handle both his job as the team's go-to scorer and also as the best playmaker in this group without Kyle in the lineup. And while Gabe has done a good job, Tyler's handled the job, Oladipo to some extent has done a pretty good job as well, they're missing something. They're missing that. And they're asking too much of Jimmy. As the teams have continued to get better and better, you need that kind of punch, that addition. You need somebody else to be able to step up. Tonight there wasn't anybody there to play alongside Jimmy Butler and to contribute in the same way.
It feels like that was sort of the theme of this game was, all right, game one was awesome, cool, good win, everything like that. But you're not beating the Celtics team if you're not correcting all the issues that this Heat team had even coming into this series, right? And right. None of these teams left in the playoffs are perfect. That includes Miami. You need somebody to help Jimmy Butler. You need this three-point shooting to get back to what it was in the regular season and not what it's been in the postseason, which is sub-30% from distance. And you're not going to win this series without Kyle Lowry. You need Kyle Lowry back at some point, and it was glaring tonight. The Celtics are healthy. They're good to go. They're rolling. The Heat need their guys back, and they need to bounce back in Game 3.
Yeah, and that's going to be a little tougher with a potential injury to P.J. Tucker kind of looming over everything. He missed the second half of play after the game. The Heat mentioned that no updates on him. They'll wait and see how he responds tomorrow. Jimmy said he spoke to him and that, you know, P.J. was kind of, you know, he didn't commit one way or the other as far as his availability. My feeling is that, you know.
Which is alarming. Which is alarming because in game one, apparently he looked supposed to dead in the eyes and said, I'm playing no matter what. And now all of a sudden he's a little shook on his availability. So that's not great.
So we'll talk about some of the bigger question marks about whether or not Miami's done, whether or not they were exposed to some degree, and what happens next if they can bounce back and steal a game in Boston. Of course, we'll also give out some blame pie because there's plenty of people who are deserving of that. But before we do that, just a reminder that today's show is sponsored by Built Bar. Look, you love brownies, right? Everybody loves brownies. But you know what you love more? Brownie batter. Sometimes you just eat half the batter, or, you know, while you're making the brownies, you don't even wind up finishing with all the brownies possible because you wind up eating so much of it. Imagine if you could lick that brownie-covered spatula and get some protein in. Well, you're in luck because Built has a new creation, and this one is better than ever, the Brownie Batter Puff. You heard me right. The Puff takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now on Built.com. Have you tried their Built Puffs yet? We've talked about it on the show before. Marshmallow, protein-infused marshmallow bars that provide all the protein and nutrients that you might be looking for out of a protein bar without sacrificing any taste. Built has so many great flavors to choose from. Go there, build a mixed box of your favorites. Try all their new flavors. I don't know how long they'll last because they come and go sometimes, but this is an opportunity for you to try one of their best ones yet. So go to Built.com right now. Use the promo code LOCK15 and you get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off if you go to Built.com.
All right, thank you so much for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Make sure to go check out Locked On NBA Big Board with host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies, and the author of the NBA Big Board newsletter gives fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and, of course, Big Boards. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. David, got that losing feeling, which means we got to get into the kitchen, whip up some blame pie, and eat our feelings away after this Game 2 loss for Miami. Who do we want to hand most of this blame pie to? Because I don't really know how much blame there is to go around. I texted you this in the middle of the game. I actually didn't think that the Heat were playing all that poorly. I just thought the Celtics were playing really well. They made a bunch of really tough shots. Like, my only issue with the shot, the threes that they got in the second quarter, that first half run that they made, before the game was already out of hand, was I just thought they were giving Grant Williams and Peyton Pritchard too easy of looks. They weren't closing out too much space, right? Where I thought they were up on Jaylen Brown, they were up on Tatum. Those dudes were just making shots, which you've got to expect, right? Like, you expect those guys; those are their stars. You expect them to make those shots. Overall,
can we give like 50% of the blame pie to like the basketball gods? Because it felt like, again, to your point, Boston was just hitting incredible shots. You don't want to take away credit from them necessarily, but I don't know how much you can count on them making those kinds of shots. Like, they were contested shots all night, and Brown, like, he struggled in game one to some degree, and yet in game two, he looked unstoppable. Every bit the player that John Corrales of Locked On Celtics told us he was when he said he was one of the better players in the series, he looked very dominant, particularly in the shooting regards. Tatum was being guarded mostly pretty well and still, again, able to just rise up over everybody and say, oh, you know what? I'll just take this shot comfortably and knock it down. Marcus Smart eventually wound up getting his shot falling as well. So I don't know. It's tough to say. Like, I'm in a bad spot here because I don't want to give too much credit to Boston, although, again, I think they deserve a lot of the credit, and I can't take away from the fact that Miami could have played better, but those shots, some of them just seemed improbable.
The Celtics outscored Miami by 30 from the three-point line. There's the game. That's the game.
Yeah,
127 to 102, they outscored Miami by 30 from the three-point line. They made 20 of 40 three-pointers. Miami made 10 of 34. I thought Miami missed a bunch of good looks. They missed a bunch of good looks. Boston
wide
made their
shots.
Good looks and made a really a bunch of tough looks. That said, I do think that there is some blame pie that we have to give Bam Adebayo. We have to do it. And I hate doing this because it's part of the whole narrative. It's the whole thing with him. But
yeah, I
want to
hear
true,
the argument,
man.
I'm not
it's
sure
true.
That I agree. I'm not sure that I agree, but right. I want to hear your point on this.
6 points on 3 of 6 shooting. In game one, he had 10 points on 4 shots. Okay, 3 of 4 shooting. That's 10 shots he's taken in 2 games. 10 shots for 16 points in 2 games. I mean, you just look like, you know, that you look at the box score, man. Like, 6 shots is the same as P.J. Tucker, who left the game early. One less than Max Strus. Yep. One less than Victor Oladipo. One less than Caleb Martin. The same as Duncan Robinson, who didn't even play until the second half. And most of his minutes came in garbage time. You need more from Bam Adebayo, and I know that you want to give credit to the Celtics defense, and they deserve it. They threw Al Horford, Grant Williams, Robert Williams on him. Like, there's a bunch of bodies that they're showing him. They did a really good job in packing the paint and trying to limit Miami's pick and roll stuff at the rim. Okay, and I know that they a lot of people were sort of ragging on the Celtics for continuing to play drop against Jimmy and Tyler in the pick and roll. That's why you do it, is you're taking stuff away at the rim. Points in the paint, the Heat had 42, which is okay. But when you're not making any shots from distance, then that's not enough. Right. And, at some point, if Bam's this guy, and as good as he's been defensively, and if he's going to be this dude for you, at least take more than 6. At least take more than 6. I don't even care if you go, instead of going for 3 for 6, you go 3 of 12. But at least you took 12. You just need to see a higher level of aggression from him.
That feels a little simplistic. I don't want to discredit what you're saying 100% either, but like, I just don't think he was getting a lot of good looks. I don't think he could have taken a lot of those shots. Maybe from the
elbow. What's my point? Isn't it his job to create good looks? Make good looks. Like, you're this unicorn center, man. Like, you're not Robert Williams.
Can he challenge?
Needs to
Can he challenge Williams? Either Williams? I mean, look, there was one time there where he could have attacked Grant Williams, who's smaller, a little bit sturdier perhaps, and he did not do so. That certainly falls on Bam. But with Robert Williams there blocking shots, leaping, impacting shots, I don't know. Maybe – I guess there was a challenge there for Bam, and maybe he didn't rise up to meet it as much as you would have liked him to. But
that's
most
the whole
of that
thing
just,
with Bam is like even like his, the unicorn part of it is like, okay, you go up against a bigger center, you're supposed to have the quickness to get around that guy. Like Robert Williams is not good at switching onto on the perimeter or anything, and they ran so much pick and roll and dribble handoff like they did in game one, and I just would have liked to see Bam do more with it. And he's been outplayed by Grant Williams. He was outplayed by Grant Williams tonight. That's a rivalry that goes back to their childhood, their AAU days, the Grant Williams and Bam Adebayo one. And Grant Williams has had the upper hand on Bam basically their entire lives, and I need to see Bam respond and just say, you know what, Grant Williams, not today, not in the Eastern Conference Finals, man, like, not gonna happen. I don't know, like, you do have to give the Celtics credit for limiting him. Like, that was their game plan. I sat in on their post-game press conference tonight, and it was very clear, let's take the paint away from Bam and Jimmy and show bodies to Jimmy, Bam, and Tyler Hero, and that's what they did tonight. So you have to give them credit, to your point. It's not, this is not in a vacuum. But if Bam is that dude, it's not supposed to matter to this extent, to a six shots in a game where they needed you, where they needed an offensive boost. You got to do more than that.
But as I said earlier also, I think that's where you're kind of missing Kyle Lowry to a huge degree, because we saw him make a concerted effort all season long to try to get open looks. Like, he still commands a double. He'll still draw a defender away. He's great at just stopping as he initiates offense. He drives into the elbow area there, and he's able to toss a lob into Bam, get him an easier look at the rim where he can finish over Robert Williams. And without him there, they didn't really have that playmaker available. So some of it falls on Bam. Some of it falls on, certainly on the Celtics defense. And then Kyle's absence certainly takes part of it as well. It makes things a lot easier for Bam when Kyle's on the floor. Aside from that, I mean, the Celtics defense, the return of Smart and Horford, can we give them some blame pie as well? Because they provided a huge emotional boost. Horford, less impactful than Smart, obviously, but just another big body, another switchable big body who challenged Miami in that painted area that seemed like they were clogging the restricted area all night for Miami. They couldn't really get much going. And again, providing that huge boost emotionally, like Smart in particular, he is the straw that stirs the drink for Boston, a big part of why they've been able to achieve success. He provides that emotional fire. He was jawing all night. I think he was a huge swing factor in Boston's favor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, they're healthy. They've got their guys. Marcus Smart and Al Horford are a big part of what they do. Spo said this before the game. Like, this is the team that they've been preparing for. And it kind of – I know that he said that. I know that they've been preparing for this, but it – sure didn't feel like they were prepared for it, and maybe that's just the nature of the when the shots don't go down and everything unwinds, and it just sort of felt like that for Miami. If you're moving forward for the Heat, like, yeah, you lost by 30 points or whatever it ended up being, but it still just counts as one loss. Game one wasn't necessarily a blowout in the final, but it felt like a blowout in that game, despite Boston's late comeback. So we could kind of just say, all right, two blowouts, split the home stand here. You got to go to Boston now and try to take one. All you can do is try to come back in one of these next two games in Boston, and just, you got to match Boston's energy. And I just thought that the Heat had no energy when they really needed it. Some of that's on Jimmy. Some of that's on Bam. Some of that's on just everybody. Some of it's the fact that you didn't have Kyle Lowry. You got to get healthy. You got to match that energy, point blank.
I will say, aside from everything else and everything, Bam certainly deserves that blame. I think Tyler was much more passive tonight than I would have liked to. Like, again, credit to Celtics defense for this, but we've seen Tyler respond to that challenge in the past, and he's just been able to, you know, again, ignite the offense, provide that spark. He's been the energy spark for Miami's offense throughout the regular season. When they've gone stagnant, Tyler was able to carry it. Now it's a little different. You're facing a very good team. You're facing a very good defense, et cetera. And Tyler just has, well, he's somewhat wilted under the pressure there. And that's not a great look for him. Like, I know he had a good game one, not a great game one. We haven't seen Tyler have a great game.
No.
And quite
Where's the 30-point outings? Like, he had, what, seven or eight of them in the regular season? I don't know that he's had one in the playoffs. And look, they're playing drop on Tyler, just inviting him to get into that mid-range spot, to take those threes, step into them with confidence. And he's not. He hasn't been doing it. Same thing we talked about Bam. You could say the same thing about Tyler. He definitely deserves some of this blame pie. Like, these are the guys. Like, whether like you like it or not, Jimmy Butler is stepping up, and it needs to be Bam and or Tyler, probably both for this series, to step up. Because even when Lowry comes back, he's going to make things easier for them. But Lowry's not the 20-point-per-game scorer anymore. That's not his game. He facilitates. Right. He gets guys involved. But, like, that's not going to make a difference. Like, it's still, like, if Boston's going to play drop on the Tyler and Bam pick and roll, Lowry's got nothing to do with that, right? That's just those two guys in that two-man game figuring it out and getting those looks that they need. And taking those shots with confidence, and they're not. Boston did trap Tyler a couple of times coming off of screens, and it kind of forced him into a couple of turnovers there. They're showing him different looks. So, again, credit goes to the Celtics here. But if you're Bam, if you're Tyler, like, you can only start giving so much credit to the Celtics before you have to say, you know what, doesn't matter. If I'm this dude, I got to step up.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about how Miami responds in Game 3, because I have to be honest, a lot of people are already writing the Heat off and kind of looking ahead to penciling the Celtics into the NBA Finals, and it's a concern, I'll have to be honest with you. So we'll address that in the next segment. But before we do that, just a reminder, our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. You can find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Just a reminder that you can always reach us via email over at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. I know it's tough. I know we're probably going to get less listens than we normally would, certainly after a big win. But for those of you,
if you're riding with us with the wins, you better ride with us for the losses. Like, we got to, like, just keep riding. Keep riding.
That's right. And of course, if you haven't and you're still checking out the show, make sure to please subscribe as we try to reach our goal of 3,000 subscribers during the postseason. Let's look ahead to game three, on Saturday. Not a lot of time. Again, missing P.J. Tucker. I guess the big question for me is, do you think the series is over? Because a lot of people seem to be writing off Miami. They were writing Miami off even before the series. Now, after a blowout, they're certainly much more convinced that Miami's done and don't have a chance to steal a game in Boston. And it could be Celtics in five, as a lot of people predicted. What do you think?
No, it's not over. It's not over. Well, if Kyle Lowry never comes back and if he's not close to 100%, then it is probably over. But we don't know whether that's the case or not. So, no, it's not over. It's not over. But there are concerns. There are concerns that Miami has to fix, right? Boston's main concern going into Game 2 was that they weren't healthy. They got healthy, and they won this game decisively. But I don't think that they're that much better than the Heat. I don't think they're 30 points better than the Heat. We got on here yesterday and said, are you more confident in the Heat after the Game 1 win? And I said, yes, I am more confident in the Heat after the Game 1 win. And that wasn't to be dismissive of Boston or even Boston getting their dudes back. But I think these teams are evenly matched. And so, no, I don't think that this series is over. And I don't know why people keep doing that. They're doing it in the Western Conference, too, after Golden State beat Dallas. Like, that series is over. I'm like, it's like one game, guys. Can we just relax with this stuff? If we think that these series are going to be competitive, then the other team is going to probably win games. Like, that's just the way that works. Anyway. That said, one of the concerns we haven't talked about, Spo needs to figure out who's playing in this series. It's time. We've got a two-game sample size now. With or without Lowry, you got to know who your dudes are. Boston went 7 deep tonight. Take all the garbage time stuff out of it. They played their starting five and Grant Williams and Peyton Pritchard off the bench. Period. That was their core lineup. Miami was messing around with Deadman here, Oladipo there, Caleb Martin there, Duncan Robinson here. They're going 9 deep.
Yep.
I don't think this is a Caleb Martin series. I'm not even sure this is a Dwayne Dedman series, although P.J. Tucker's injury could complicate things.
I'd like to see Markieff
both
Morris
of them into playing time.
Yeah.
I had that thought. I was like, is this not like a good – if P.J. Tucker can't go, I think you just start Markieff Morris and you say, screw it. That's what we're doing. Or maybe you go small and have Jimmy at the four and try to space out things, maybe even with Gabe and Kyle Lowry if Lowry's able to go in game three. But you got to figure out who your seven or eight are in this series, because now's the time. And I don't think it's a Caleb Martin series. I'm not sure it's an Oladipo series, which based on how he's played, he's struggled. Yeah. Deadman had a really rough night. Like, he was a minus 27 in 13 minutes, man. Like, those were rough, rough minutes. I'm not sure it's a Deadman series. But I basically just eliminate everybody on the bench. But, like, you've got to figure – whoever it is, like, you've got to make some sort of adjustment, some sort of game plans, put these guys in a better position to succeed. But you got to pick probably seven or eight guys who you're going to ride with Tucker or without Tucker, with Lowry or without Lowry. You've got to pick your guys and put a game plan there, because I understand tonight – things got out of hand, and so you're just trying all these different things, but it wasn't like that. It wasn't much different in game one either, where they're kind of going deep into their bench. So I don't know. That's part of it. I think that's certainly part of it.
Yeah, I have to agree. I don't think the series is over either, to answer that question. I think it's hard to overlook such a blowout loss, especially at home. The fact of the matter is, Miami, with the exception of that phenomenal third quarter in game one, has lost most of the quarters against the Celtics. And at home, that's not exactly a great look. You kind of get the vibe anyway, as unscientific as that is, that they stole game one or figured something out. Now they have to go and show what they've learned from these first two games. They have to be able to provide some kind of response, whether it's a change to the rotation, to your point, doing something differently on offense and or defense. They've got to tweak it. We've seen Spo make these kinds of in-series adjustments in the past that have swung a series in Miami's favor. Now the onus is on him to figure something out. A lot of game breakdown, a lot of film, no practice schedule for Friday as they're traveling to Boston. So I imagine there's going to be a lot of film study. Probably nobody's getting any sleep tonight after a 30-point loss. That's just the way the reality is. I will say that the other question that I had, and maybe it ties into everything that we've said, is Miami been exposed to some degree in Game 2? Again, it's kind of fitting the narrative that everybody had, that Boston was clearly the more talented team, the better team, etc. And now, all of a sudden, with nobody stepping up to compliment Jimmy Butler, there does seem to feel like Miami was exposed to some degree as an inferior team, that the core, there isn't much core there outside of Jimmy, and that Bam's not stepping up, that Tyler can be mitigated, and if nobody else is rising to the challenge and providing that boost, the vaunted team depth that both you and I said was a greater strength for Miami than a Boston's just doesn't matter. If you don't have somebody who's willing and able to complement Jimmy's scoring, Miami's basically toast. So that does feel like maybe that's the more prescient question about tonight.
Yeah, I don't know if I like the word exposed, but I'll go back to what I said. It just underscored the concerns we had about this team going into this series. That's all.
That's fair.
That's it.
Well, we'll see what happens. Miami will be there in Boston for Game 3, and we'll be recapping that game one way or the other. Hopefully Miami can find a way to bounce back, and hopefully P.J. Tucker and or Kyle Lowry will be back in the lineup to provide that boost that we're looking for Miami to respond with. In any case, thanks so much for making our show your first listen every day. Make sure to make this Locked On NBA your second listen, from the first jump ball of the play-in tournament to the last possession of the NBA Finals. Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis impacting all 30 teams. This is David Ramil signing off for now. Thanks so much for joining me, Wes.
Wrap it up, B.